How could Russi leave out Irvan? What more does Reuben have to do to get a chance? Why does so-and-so keep getting selected? Today, you are going to get a front row seat as I attempt to answer all these questions in light of Dr. Russi Erasmus naming his Springbok squad for the first four matches of the international season. And once I've done that, I'll look at the full squad for you and play around with some of the combinations we are likely to see against the Barbarians in the Qatar Airways Cup match, and then two tests against Italy and a one-off test against Georgia. Doc will tweak the squad after that for the Rugby Championship. So for me, the big one was the omission of Irvan Ruiz, and I think a lot of people felt the same way. But, as luck would have it, a hamstring injury to Cameron Hunnicombe during the Bulls' URC semi-final win over the Sharks has opened the door for Ruiz. As you guys know, if you're regulars here, I'm a Stormers supporter and I just love Irvan. Ruiz is currently my favourite player in the team. I might have to throw in that I also love Sasha Feinberg Ngomezulu. Years ago, I worked with his dad, and to some extent, I feel like a bit of an uncle. Ruben van Heerden is another player I really, really like. Ruben has also missed out on Russi's selection. But Ruiz is my favourite Stormers player right now. And it makes sense because, as you also know, if you've watched enough of this channel, I'm just a big sucker for a loose forward. My favourite player is almost always a Lucy. Now, there's so much to talk or like about Irvan. For me, his biggest weakness is his discipline. But I also think that that is something that has improved a lot in recent times. And yes, he was unlucky not to be included originally. As much as I am a Ruiz fan, I have to concede that if everyone is fit, then Jasper Visser and Cameron Hunnicombe are ahead of him in the queue right now. Irvan has been part of the setup before, as we know, but he might have the best opportunity he'll ever have to make that number 8 jersey his own. I read an interesting Mark Keohane article a couple of days ago. Now listen, I'm not a big Keogh fan. I think he makes some really good points, but he also talks a lot of nonsense from time to time. That said, I do admire him. Why? Well, because he's made a media career for himself essentially as an entrepreneur. And that's exactly what I'm trying to do with this. And if you enjoy the work that I do and you'd like to help me out, you can sign up to become one of my patrons. If you do that, you stand the chance to win Springbok merch, get discounts on my soon-to-be-launched online shop. You might even be able to get me to write an ebook for you on your favorite player, and we can even have quarterly Zoom calls where we discuss Springbok matches, players, and tactics. If that sounds like something you want to be a part of, then click on the link in the description area below. It starts from as little as $5 per month. That's US, not Zimbabwean. The reason I'd love you to join my dream team is because I would love to do this full time. I would also love to go to Australia in 2027 and cover the Rugby World Cup for you on a daily basis from down under. So go on, help a brother out. And if you used to work at Eskom and you got a lack of payout, then I'm expecting you to sign up on the tier that is $100 per month. Now I mentioned Keogh Haynes' article. Keogh was saying that it's possible Russi doesn't like Ruiz's attitude. Irvan appears to be a cocksure individual, a bit of an alpha male. I would say that everyone in a Springbok jersey is almost certainly an alpha male, but that's just me. Maybe Irvan is the kind of player that doesn't necessarily fit in seamlessly in the box squad, but perhaps the kind of guy that fits in perfectly under a John Dobson regime. I'm reminded of what Jock Nienaber once said about not necessarily having the best player, but having the right player. Keogh Haynes went on to explain how Erasmus has described himself as being something of an a-hole in his playing days. Keogh argues that if this is indeed what is going on, then Doc is the perfect coach to take Ruiz under his wing. Whether or not that is true is probably mostly speculation. But clearly, Rassi is not against Irvine entirely. Otherwise, he might have selected someone like Emmanuel Chituka to come into the squad. The way I see it, this is Irvine Roos's big chance. I hope he grabs it with both hands. Another Lucy, although not eighth man, who has missed out, is Pepsi Buthelezi. Now, I like this guy. Pretty much because I like all loose forwards, you might turn around and tell me. But he's a good player. I think if you've watched enough of the Sharks, you would know that. But the problem is that he lacks consistency. I think having Siya Kolisi with him on the training ground every day in Durban can only be a positive thing. But it doesn't seem to have rubbed off sufficiently. Perhaps Buthelezi's time will come in the future. But for now, I don't think his supporters can realistically question his absence. And that's going to be the case for a lot of guys. Since we were talking about the Stormers, look at Suleiman Hartzenberg. A very good player, no doubt. But let's say you are only selecting four wings in your squad for whatever the competition may be. Is he one of the best four in the country? I don't think you can say he is. But perhaps his time will still come. He's far from being an old man, don't forget. The same goes for some of the centers, I think. People will talk about Urenzo, the boogeyman Julius, David Creel, and Henko van Wijk. Again, these guys are probably not that far away. But there is a queue. A high-quality queue, I might add. And there are other players ahead of them in that queue. It's like arriving at Home Affairs an hour after they opened. You're not going to get helped anytime soon, are you? And then you've got a guy like Marnus van der Merwe, who seems to have forced his way in ahead of Johan Grobbelaar. Perhaps one of the more controversial selections is Jaden Hendricks' continual involvement ahead of Embrose Papier. I know folks in Pretoria feel Papier should be ahead of Hendricks. And to be very honest with you, I'm inclined to agree. But I also think Doc has invested too much in Jaden to just discard him now. To be sure, Hendricks has his weaknesses. But clearly, Rassie feels there are other attributes he brings to the table. For example, can you imagine playing against the All Blacks? We're leading narrowly going into the final minutes, and Jaden winks at Jordy Barrett. I mean, that's just priceless, isn't it? Okay, so let's have a look now at that squad in full and try to look at different combinations Rassie could use. I think you might like the Excel spreadsheet that I've put together here. So we're going to look at the props, beginning there with Ntutuko Mthunu. We've got Oxenchair, who's still the number one. I got Asenate Ntlabakanye, who I should have probably put in the three column, to be fair. And then you've got Gerard Steenkamp. So if you just go there, Ox is obviously still the number one. I think Steenkamp is the backup. He's the bomb squad guy. And then I reckon it's between Mthunu, or let's say Mthunu is the number three guy. But if you're talking about playing with combinations, we'll come to that in a moment. If you look at the hookers, Malcolm Marks and Bongi Mbonambi, they are still one and two, or two and one. I think Bongi is your starter and Malcolm is the bomb squad guy. But Bongi is getting old. I mean, Malcolm's not young either, but Bongi is a little bit older than what Marks is. And so to that extent, Jan Hendrik Wessels, I think, is now your number three guy. And Marnus van der Merwe, as we mentioned earlier, he has forced his way in there ahead of Grobbelaar. Thomas du Toit, Thomas the Tank. You've got Neatling Foshier, we've got Vincent Koch, Wilco Lowe, and then, as I say, Ntlabakanye. I think Wilco Lowe is actually the guy. I would rate him as my number one. I know Frans Malhadba, he's still around, but he hasn't been included in the squad because of injury. But for me, Wilco Lowe is number one, and I think probably Thomas du Toit is three. But because of his versatility, a guy like Neatling Foshier can't be too far away. Vincent Koch, who's also getting on in years. So you look at it, you could go with a front row of Mthunu, Marks, and du Toit. That would be formidable. The inexperience of Mthunu, the relative inexperience of du Toit, and then the experience of Marks. And maybe your bomb squad could look like this: Oxenchair, Bongi Mbonambi, Neatling Foshier. Nothing wrong with that. Again, like I said, Ntlaba Kanye, if you want to use him as a three, then perhaps Ntlaba Kanye at three, Marnus van der Merwe maybe your hooker, and then maybe Thomas the Tank could be the one, or Gerard Steenkamp. You could also use Steenkamp, Vessels, and Lowe. And there's all kinds of combinations that you could play around with here. And quite frankly, I'm very happy with that. I think we're in a very strong place. If we look at the lock combinations, last year in the Rugby Championship, it was mostly Eben Etzebeth and Ruan Nokir, and then later it became Etzebeth and Snyman. John Klein has been included. Salman Murat skipped the Springboks at one stage last year as well, a couple of times actually. Kobus Viss is part of the setup, and it's great to see Luit de Jager back. I think if everyone is fit and ready, then Eben and Luit should be 4 and 5 again, with Snyman part of the bomb squad, and then potentially Ruan Nokia is your number 4. I know a lot of people like John Klein. I just think he's easily the 5th or the 6th guy here. And pretty much the same goes for Salman Murat. And you're waiting probably for a De Jager retirement, or you're waiting for De Jager to sort of concede, or the coaches concede, that he's not the player that he used to be. So that's kind of what's happening there. If you look at the loose trio, again, talk about combinations. Sia Kolisi, Franco Mostert, Cameron Honeycomb. That would have been brilliant. By the way, guys, I made a mistake there, because Cameron Honeycomb, as you know, should be changed to Ivan Ruiz. There we go. See, I put this thing together before the announcement of Ruiz coming in for Honeycomb. But you've got Jasper Visser there, and then Jarno Augustus, or is it Augustus? I'm actually not sure, to be perfectly honest with you. My guess is that it's actually Augustus. If you guys know, put it in the comment section down below. But Sia, there you've got Peter Steff du Toit, and then I reckon Jasper Visser. That's the first choice. Second choice, or if you're talking about the bomb squad, I reckon probably Quagga. I think Jean-Luc Dupreer is a great shout for the bomb squad. And then you could go with Ivan Ruiz or even Vincent Chituka, who I'm very excited to see. He's got a great story, having been born in the Democratic Republic of Congo and going to school in South Africa. He's now a South African citizen, part of the setup. Very exciting. Marco van Staden, don't forget about him. Eskom, brilliant player. Because when he hits you, in case you didn't know, when he hits you, then you are lights out. That's why he's called Eskom. Renzo Duplessis included as well. So that's pretty good to see as well. So I think it's a really solid squad, and there's lots of different combinations that we can play with here in order to put together multiple teams in these four matches. I mean, it's quite possible that Rassi could go with one team for the Barbarians, makes 11 changes for the next match against Italy, makes more changes for the second test against Italy, and so on and so forth. Okay, that completes the forwards. Let's take a look at the backs now, shall we? And again, you're looking at the nines. We'll start there. There you got Faf de Klerk, Jaden Hendrikse, Kobus Reinach, Morne van den Berg, Grant Williams. For me, if everyone is fit, Grant Williams is number one. And I love that you've still got Faf and Kobus there in terms of experience, so they can help out. One of them should be on the bench as a bomb squad member. Maybe Jaden Hendrikse is next in line, I think, in terms of the way that Rassi and his staff are thinking. But I think as we get closer to Australia and that World Cup, Grant Williams is one. I think Faf or Kobus, not Faf and Kobus, make the trip to Australia. And then again, Morne van den Berg, he appears to be ahead of Ambrose Papied in the thinking anyway. So I'd probably be looking there. Although again, they really do seem to like Jaden. They see something there that I think a lot of fans don't see. And that's okay. They've invested in him. So let's see what happens. His brother Jordan is one of the fly halves in the squad, as is Sasha Feinberg and Ngome Zulu. You got Marnie Lebok still there, as well as Andre Pollard. For me, it's Pollard versus Sasha Feinberg and Ngome Zulu for the number 10 jersey for the Rugby World Cup. And I think Marnie Lebok only goes to the Rugby World Cup as a third choice fly half, quite frankly, which then begs the question, what is the role of Jordan Hendrikse? He's the backup guy in case of injury. But don't forget that Jordan, Sasha, and Hundre can all play inside center as well as fullback if required. So there's a lot of versatility there. Speaking of the centers, Damian Dialende and Andre Esterhazen are the two 12s. Lucanio and Jesse Creel are the outside centers. I think before his injury, was the best outside center in the world for me. And I think now Jesse Creel might be the best outside center in the world. And is very much the outside man looking in. But I think he's got so much credit in the bank in terms of what he's done for the Springboks and with the Springboks over the years that you can't just discard him like that. And the same, I think, is true for Makazole Mapimpi. He's been overtaken by Kurt Liorense, no doubt about that. I think Edwill van der Merwe is breathing down his neck. But if you've been watching in the URC, I think Makazole Mapimpi has perhaps been the Sharks' best player in the URC. And if you consider his age, it's something of a miracle, but magnificent stuff on his part. And then on the right, and again, a lot of this is interchangeable. Like, I mean, Chesson Colby, we've seen him on the left and the right. So he's going to be ahead of Ethan Hooker. He's going to be ahead of Ntokozo Makaza, who I think is probably only in the squad to gain experience. I think he might get some game time against Georgia, but I don't think anything more than that at this stage. And then, of course, you've got Kane and Moody. You'd have to say that Colby is still first choice with Moody as the number two guy. And so Hooker and Makaza are mostly there to gain experience. And I think it's great being part of a bigger squad and training alongside Colby, Arendse, Mapimpi, and learning from them. Other men you can learn from would obviously be Willie LaRue, Damien Willemse back in the mix. I think Willemse should be the number one. Apelele Fassie is probably two. I mean, it could be the other way around. Remember, Fassie was the incumbent last year, mostly because of Willemse's injuries. But that doesn't mean that Willemse automatically walked straight back in. I think Willie LaRue, they're going to try and get him to 100 test matches. He's on 98 caps at the moment. Two against Italy, or one against Italy and one against Portugal. That might be what gets him to 100. And then it might be a case of, Willie, thanks for the memories, but we're going to move on now. Quan Horn is an exciting young player who you could argue deserves to be there ahead of Willie. I don't know, but he certainly does deserve his place there. So if you ask me, there is so much there to mix and match, and I have no doubt Russie is going to do just that. It's all about building depth. And let's be honest, preserving our older Springboks. We've got a bunch of players there that are all on the wrong side of 30 and are going to be closer to 35 and in many cases 6, 7 and even 8 come Rugby World Cup 2027. If Doc hopes to take as many of them along as possible, then they're going to have their game time managed between now and then. And let's face it, there are some of them that are going to struggle to make it to Australia. I have a hunch on about three of them in this squad already who I don't think will make it, but I don't think this video is the time to discuss that. But what do you think? Do you like the squad? Who do you think is the biggest omission from this squad? What are your expectations? Let me know in the comment section down below, and I'll speak to you next time.